Hey, podcast listeners, it's Brandon Hollingsworth here, and if you're listening to this, it means you really want to get into the details about suds, the relationship between aroma and flavor, ideal temperatures, the good stuff. In this extended interview with glassmaker Matthew Cummings, you'll hear some of the material that we've already covered in the method, but you'll also hear a lot more. So I hope you enjoy it, and happy Thanksgiving.
When you're talking about the tradition of glassware for wine, and the breadth of that tradition, when you look at craft beer, there's a much larger diversity of flavor profiles in craft beer. So the glassware is inherently more complicated and more diverse too. So when I started designing the glasses, you know, I really wanted to pay tribute to the beer that was going to be poured into it. So I was very, very careful with how I approached it and being really thorough with my initial research. And that research was literally getting as many beer glasses together as I could and looking at especially styles that had a tradition of a specific glass. And in Europe, there's great tradition, and most of the breweries have their own proprietary glassware. And like a really good Belgian beer bar, if you go into it and they don't have the right glass clean, they will not serve you that beer. I mean, they take it that seriously. So I got as many of those glasses as I could, and then I drank the right beer out of them, and then I drank the wrong beers out of them to try to figure out for myself what was tradition and what was actually functional, what helped the beer. So that kind of let me narrow down glassware shapes, overall shapes that I felt highlighted certain styles. And then after that, I was able to say, okay, I need this in a glass. And then these elements I can be a little more creative with. And I can do some more interesting, unique glassware approach too. So that was kind of the fundamental baseline for where they all started. And it took about a month per glass of research. Each glass, I probably made 8 prototypes to find the right one, you know.
Well, we've got a few of them right here on the table in front of us. Why don't you pick one up and describe it to us and then tell us what it's for and why the shape is important.
Okay, so the first one we have is the subtle beer glass. Now, one of the things I do is I don't make a glass for specific styles. I make a glass that highlights flavor profiles. So it's not, the subtle glass isn't called like the Pilsner glass or the Lager glass, which those are the beers that this is designed to highlight, and it's a tall cylindrical glass with undulations around the bottom two-thirds. It was a cylinder while it was still hot. With my hands, I was able to squeeze the glass with newspaper and give it smooth hand place holdings. This is a very, very tall vertical glass. For subtle beers, you actually want the carbonation to be able to travel through the liquid as far as possible. That's when you look at traditional Pilsner glasses, they're always very, very tall glasses. So it's got that overall composition to the shape, but the undulations give you a really nice benefit to that. It's a really, really ergonomic. It feels great in your hand, but you also see different densities of the beer. So if you go to the Etsy shop and you look at the photos are gorgeous because you have this, you know, they're typically lighter, like pale straw colors, or even like a nice bright golden color. And the undulations will let you see different densities, thicknesses of that beer, so you get all of these color variations that's inherent in the beer, and it gives you this great experience.
Well, let's try another one here. You've got some other glasses. I'm very interested, by the way, this one that has a partition in the middle of it. Why don't we talk about this one? This one's also cylindrical. It's got kind of a thick wall, maybe 3/4 inch or 1/2 inch thick. But in the middle is a big sheet of glass here that divides it into 2 halves. Tell us about this.
So this is called the dual beer glass. And this was my response to having an improperly poured black and tan. So like when I was in grad school, there was an Irish pub nearby campus. And so every night, if we were out drinking late, we would always go to the Irish pub at the end and get some black and tans. And I had so many people, even professional bartenders, improperly pour the black and tan so that the two beers never separated. So a black and tan or half and half is where you have Harp and Guinness or Bass and Guinness. And you pour one beer on top of the other with a jig that's like an inverted spoon. So it pours it very softly. The second beer pours it very softly. And then they actually have different specific gravities. So they have different amounts of sugar still in the beer. It makes one lighter and one heavier. So they'll actually, like oil and vinegar, they stay separated. But this, you don't have to have a jig. You pour one beer into either side, and then as you drink it, it mixes right before you drink it. Now, this does a couple of things that you can't do with any other glass. One, it lets you mix beers that have similar specific gravities. So it expands the different combos that you can use. And then you can get really, really creative with them. So you can do something like a raspberry sour and a chocolate stout. You know, so I mean, you can really, really explore, even do a couple of sours combined. And you get this great juxtaposition of tart acidity versus vinegar acidity. And then, I mean, you can even play around with IPAs, like a Hefeweizen and IPA, and really, really experiment, have fun with craft beer. And then the second thing that it does that I think is really interesting is that normally when you have a black and tan, one beer is on top and one beer is on the bottom, so that you only get the aroma of the top beer. And when we're talking about flavor, you have taste and aroma combined. By far the strongest influence on that is aroma. So with this, you can actually smell both beers at the same time. And just that alone makes it worth the glass.
Well, let's take a look at another one here. There are some unusual curvaceous ones over on the corner there.
All right, so this is the malty glass. So it kind of looks like maybe an upside down snowman or something. It's got three...
Or like an insect thorax. It's got three big bulges in it.
Yeah, yeah. It's like three ovular forms stacked on top of each other. All one bubble. So it's made to highlight malty flavor profiles, like roasty, toasty notes. The shape is really nice and ergonomic as well. Like we were talking about the subtle glass. It feels great in your hand. It's something that is this visceral thing that you just have to experience. It really pulls out malty because it does have a bulbous top. And then one of the coolest aspects of this glass is, or the most interesting aspects, is that if you pour a nitro beer into this glass, and it has to be a nitro because of the way the bubbles form and how they rise in solution. So if you pour a nitro stout into this glass, do a hard pour, you'll actually get a triple head for about 20 seconds. It's fantastic. It's like the double rainbow of the beer world. It's absolutely crazy.
All right, and why don't we take a look at one more? All right, so this one. Yeah, this one looks kind of like almost a mushroom or something.
Yeah, this is like almost a modern Victorian design. It's called the Savigne glass, named after my favorite contemporary hop, like a boutique hop, Nelson Savigne, which is a New Zealand hop, and it's grown in the same microclimate as Sauvignon Blanc grapes. So it's got this beautiful white wine characteristic, the hop does. So this glass, the namesake comes from that because I absolutely am infatuated with that hop. And this is the double IPA glass. So it's essentially a snifter tulip hybrid. With beer, tulips and snifters are very, very important styles. A tulip is probably going to be your most common glass shape that you see with craft beer. Whereas a snifter, you're going to see that more with high gravity beers, especially like barley wines. But most of the time you see that, you're going to see like a little cognac snifter. So we actually, all these glasses are specifically designed for craft beer. And one of the reasons why I did that was because even if you go to a really great craft beer bar, they're going to be pouring their beer into glasses that weren't designed for craft beer. They were designed for other beverages that were then taken and slightly modified, for best case, slightly modified to actual pour beer into, like the cognac glass for high gravity beers. So I wanted to actually put the effort in to designing a set of glasses that were specifically for craft beer, because no one else was doing that at the time. And so we're talking about the Savigne again. Those two, the snifter and the tulip shape, one, it lets you, because the snifter's got this really wide bulbous middle, and it gives a lot of surface area for the air to gather up aroma molecules and release them. But then the tulip directs them towards your nose.
It kind of concentrates them up towards your
nose. Concentrates them up towards your nose. So with double IPAs, one of the most significant elements of that is the massive hop aroma. You know, because a lot of those are dry hopped. So you really want to capture that and focus on that aspect of the beer.
Well, all of this is, of course, worlds away from the stereotypical red Solo cup that I think a lot of people consume their beer out of. If somebody is looking into getting more serious about, as we were talking about, enhancing the experience, so it's not just kind of a mechanical action of drinking beer, but something a little bit more than that, mm-hmm. where do you recommend they start? Some of these are pretty odd beers, and they're very specific about their effects. Where might be a good general place to start?
Like, one, throw your shaker pints away. Like the conical, basic glass that you see.
So they're almost ubiquitous.
They're everywhere. And those are not designed to be drank out of. They were made to mix cocktails as part of a shaker. They were the other half of a shaker. But they stack really easily. And that is the only thing they're designed for. They're not designed for you to drink out of. They're designed to be stacked. So throw your shaker pints away. Don't freeze your glasses. When you freeze your glassware, you're cooling the beer down way, way too much. And as the beer gets cold, it locks in all of its flavor molecules, those volatile aroma molecules, and it's not going to smell as intensely. If you don't get the aroma, you don't get the full flavor. So craft beer, you actually want to drink a little on the warm side. You know, if you're going to be really, really specific about it, I mean, it would be best to pull the bottle out like 10 minutes before you want to drink it, and then pour it into a glass. If you don't have any specific glassware for it, a wine glass is fine. I mean, that would be your next best option, and that'll give you a little hint of how much a good glassware will affect it. The glasses that I make, there's a broad range of different shapes and how the tops come together and overall forms. And one thing I think it's important to know, and the easiest way to break down this fairly complicated scenario, is to say that any glass you pour your beer into is going to either enhance or dull flavor profiles. Each one changes a little bit, but the trick is finding a glass that enhances the aspects that you want enhanced.
We've been talking a lot about flavor and aroma, but I understand the temperature. And you alluded to this when you were talking about don't freeze your glasses. Tell me a little bit more about the role temperature plays in this experience.
That's a really great question. The more you get into the beer, the more sensitive you're going to be to that. Typically, the lighter color and the lower gravity the beer is, the cooler you're going to drink it. Now, you come into a place that, saying that they're cold storage where they're serving their beer out of is like 32 degrees, and they're like bragging about that. That's not a good thing. Like, that's a really bad thing. 40 degrees is a really good start. So if you had a fridge just dedicated to beer, if you had that running about 40 degrees, you're going to be really, really great spot. The more alcohol you get into, like 7-8%, none of these are hard and fast rules. There's going to be variations for everything, but normally 7-8%, like a bigger IPA or double IPA, those are typically, you know, like 45 is a good temperature range for them. An exception to the rule would be like a dark German style, like a Dunkelweizen. It's darker, but it's not as big. It's lower gravity, those I think are somewhere around like 5-6%. So it may be 6%. You know, those you can do a little on the cooler side. But you're doing Belgians, definitely like 50, 55. Anything like a barley wine, 55 at least, you know, or like a Russian Imperial Stout, it can be even a little warmer than 55. So most of the time, like, good rule of thumb with Belgians is pull it out. If it's a big Belgian, pull it out 30, 45 minutes before you want to drink it. And then it's going to be just the right temperature.
Well, I want to ask a dumb question as my last question here. You study the physics of beer, the temperature, the proper shapes of the glass. You think about this a lot. Then you make the glass right here in the studio. Do you then go home and think, boy, I'd love a nice beer right now? Or do you want to leave that at work?
Oh, absolutely not. We have a kegerator by the hot shop. So, yes, that's not something that I leave at work. No way.
Matthew Cummings is a glass blower. He's also the owner and proprietor of the pretentious glassware company in the Old City, which is where we've been talking to him. Matthew, cheers, and thank you so much for joining us on The Method.
Thank you very much. Thank you.